Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we do a hadith that's quite long, so we'll break it up into two parts, inshallah. But it's got quite a few lessons for us to learn from the hadith, like all the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many lessons to be learned. So from this hadith also there are many lessons to be learned. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, only three infants spoke in the cradle. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that only three infants spoke in the cradle. Ulama explained this part of the hadith, that only three infants spoke in the cradle. In other words, from the time that they were very, very small, very young. It's an expression, they spoke from the cradle. So Ulama explained that this is with regards to the Bani Israel. The three infants from the Bani Israel spoke in the cradle, because there were other instances where other youngsters also spoke. But this is specifically what the three youngsters that we have mentioned here in the Bani Israel. This is mentioned by Allama Zarkhashi, rahmatullah alayhi. Anyway, moving on. So the first one was Hazrat Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, an infant in the time of Juraij. Juraij was an ascetic. In other words, he was a pious person. And he built a monastery. And what he would do in this monastery, he would make his ibadat. You know, like we say, like a khanka. And the whole day he would be there, and that would be his ibadat. So this was Juraij. He had built a monastery, and he would spend his time there. So one day he was inside offering salah, and his mother came to him. So she said, "Oh Juraij." Juraij thought to himself that, "Oh Allah, here is my mother, and I am occupied in my salah." So he continued offering his salah, and his mother went away. The next day she again came whilst he was offering salah, and she called out for him. So he said, and she said, "Oh Juraij," he thought to himself, "Oh Allah, here is my mother and I'm occupied in my salah." So he continued offering his salah, and his mother went away. The next day she again came whilst he was offering his salah. She said, "Oh Juraij," he thought to himself, "Oh Allah, here is my mother and I'm occupied in my salah." So he continued offering his salah. One thing we learn from here is that two things are very important. One is piety and the other is ilm. Piety and ilm. So one is time a person will have piety. He has piety but he doesn't have the necessary knowledge. It doesn't mean that he'll do the right thing. See here, Juraij, his mother came to call for him. So he was occupied in nafil salah. The masla is, if a person's mother is calling for him and now he's in nafil salah, he should answer the call of his mother, come back and remake his nafil salah. But he didn't know the masla, he was not learned. He had piety, but he didn't have ilm. So therefore, ulama tell us that two things are important. One is ilm, knowledge, and the other is piety. Knowledge without piety can lead a person to destruction. That knowledge will take him into the wrong path. How many people were so intelligent, but they went off the track because they didn't have the taqwa and they didn't have the piety. And how many people had piety, but because they didn't have the necessary ilm, they did the wrong things in the wrong way because of the piety that they had. So the two things are very, very important. Piety and ilm together. So anyway, this first part of the hadith, that's what we learn. So he thought to himself that this is my mother, and he carried on with his nafil salah. So now, she came now, few day time she came already. So now this is what she says. She said, "Oh Allah, do not let him die before seeing the face of an immoral woman." Now the Bani Israel were discussing Juraij and his ardent ways of worship, and an immoral woman who was famous for her beauty said to them, and this was the dua of the mother, or bad dua of the mother. Therefore we be very, very careful that a person doesn't disobey his parents or her parents at all, because we don't know that bad dua that comes out, sometimes it doesn't even come out, but because of the dua that's coming from the heart, Allah Ta'ala accepts it. So she was upset, this mother, that coming so many times to call her son is not responding. So therefore she was upset that he's just continuing. So she made this dua. So now what had happened was the Bani Israel amongst themselves, they were discussing. How when we get together sometimes, the people just talk, one person will mention. So now they were discussing and they were talking about how strong he is in his worship. He doesn't move, he's so particular of his worship. So how can we distract him from that? So there was a loose woman that was there, an immoral woman. And she was famous for her beauty. So she said to them, "If you wish, I will seduce him." So she went to him and offered herself to him, but he did not pay any attention to her. So this was a plan now, a plot, a ploy. that she will go and try and seduce him, but he didn't pay any attention. It shows that shaitan works in different ways. Sometimes it works in ways that we can't even understand, but we don't understand that behind the scene, sometimes there's things that we are doing wrong, that these tests now are coming, or these harms are coming, or sometimes it's purely that Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate a person's status. So anyway, moving on with this incident, here it was this dua of his mother that had happened, or the bad dua of his mother. Allah Ta'ala makes it such for the pious people sometimes, the effect of it is found in this world, so that when they go in akhirat, there is no answering to do. The wrong that they did in this world, they have to go through the harm of it in this world, so there is no harm in the year after. So anyway, what had happened was, she tried to seduce him, he paid absolutely no attention to her. She then went to a shepherd who used to frequent the monastery of Juraj and allowed him to have a relationship with her, and she fell pregnant. So this woman fell pregnant with someone that was just a worshipper that would come to this monastery. Just a worshipper that would come there. So she fell pregnant. When she gave birth to the child, she said, "This child is from Juraj." So the people confronted him, brought him down, destroyed his monastery, and began beating him. So people were extremely upset that here's a person that was seen to be an Allah-wala, a religious person, and this is what he did. But this was just a false accusation. He had nothing to do with it. Complete false accusation against him. So ulama explained that sometimes people will make false accusations to you. What must you do? Sometimes people will hurt you, people will beat you, they'll do things. How should you respond? See how this Juraj responded when these false accusations now were hurled against him. So they said, so the first thing they did was they broke down his monastery, they beat him, they hit him, they brought him down, and they're telling him, "You committed adultery with this immoral woman, and she gave birth to your child." So he asked, "Where is this child?" They brought the child to him, and he said, "Allow me to offer salah." So when a person is in trouble, what does he do? "Allow me to offer salah." He turns to salah. He turns to, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, "Bring the child here, but allow me to offer salah." So he offers salah, in other words, now he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he completed his salah, he came to the child and he jabbed the child in his stomach and he asked, "Oh child, who is your father?" The child replied, "So and so, shepherd." The people were shocked when they saw this whole thing happening in front of them. The pious Allah ta'ala, in some way, he'll clear their name. Very often, they don't take out pamphlets and they don't take out leaflets and they don't engage in public debates and all. They don't have time for all that. They don't do all that. Allah Ta'ala comes and He protects their name. So here, Allah Ta'ala used a child that was young, just born, and here He answers. So the child says that, explains who his father is. When these people saw this miracle, they were shocked. Now what they did, they came back quickly to him. The people rushed towards Juraj, kissing him, passing their hands over him, and they said to him, "We will reconstruct your monastery out of gold. That monastery that we broke down, it was made out of brick and clay and whatever else. We will now reconstruct it out of gold for you." So he said, "No, just make it out of clay as it was previously." And they complied. We'll continue with this. One, two lessons that we learn from here is that when a person has respect for his parents and his seniors, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that a person's respect is also protected in this world. It's not that he didn't want to respect his mother, but he didn't know how to go about doing it. So because of that, Allah Ta'ala made him go through this small difficulty that he went through. And then Allah Ta'ala again restored his izzat in a very, very big way. So one thing we learn as far as the seniors are concerned and the parents is concerned, that we must always be dutiful towards them and dutiful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other masala we learn, as I mentioned, that if a person is in nafil salah and his mother is calling him, then he can break the nafil salah and attend to the call of his mother. And if he's reading a farz salah or a wajib salah and his mother calls him and he knows that this is an urgent call for attention, is something urgent that she needs, even that salah also he can break. Obviously, if he knows that there's somebody else to attend to her, then he'll finish that farz or that wajib salah and then he'll go to attend to her. But if something that is urgent, even that salah. So this shows us how much importance Islam gives to attending to the answer and the call of one's parents. Other thing that we learn is that we have to prioritize ourselves as far as our ibadat is concerned. One is the khidmat of people and one is the khidmat or the service that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our ibadat. And one more thing we learn is that whatever a person gets, whatever he achieves, is because of the du'as of someone, either the du'as of his parents, either the du'as, yeah, it was a bad du'a, but obviously whatever he did before that also was the du'a of his mother, was the du'a of his parents. And although there's a very nice saying that ye fazal, kisi ki karam ki sadaqa hai, ye qadam utta nahi utaya jata hai. Whatever a person has achieved, whatever fazal he's got, that this is not through his own doing. This is through somebody's sadaqah. Sadaqah means somebody's dua, somebody's crying for him, somebody's looking at him with shafqat and mercy, somebody in the darkness of night making dua for him, hoping for him. Whatever it is, somebody's dua, it's not his own achievement that he got what he's got today. Ye qadam utte nahi utaya jata hai. These feet of ours, we don't pick it up ourselves. Utaya jata hai, someone else is picking it up and making it move. We think that we picked it up and brought ourselves to the masjid. No. Someone else picked it up and brought us here. Allah Ta'ala picked up our foot, helped us to come to the masjid. It was through His fazal, somebody's du'as that we took, allowed us to come. It is no achievement of our own. So everything a person achieves, everything a person gets to, a person, whatever credits, is not because of him. He must think that it's because of someone else. Because of their du'as, Allah Ta'ala has allowed me. This is how the pious used to think. Allah subhanallah give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.